And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to be discussing some secrets today. Hey, Sandra, she's my producer. What volume is this?
Volume 124.
We've done this 124 times. And, you know, we have the last 36 volumes available for you. It just gets so much of a burden to store and inventory more than that. But we go back 36 months, and some of you might say, hey, give me all 36 volumes. And we'd be glad to do that. We do ask $8 for each volume, so that would be a little bit of money there. But if you talk real sweet to the lady here, they, because you order so much of that one thing, they may give you a nice discount. But we do go back 36 volumes, and we're glad to be at 124. You said, okay, 124 today. We usually do this about once a month. And, you know, it's sort of like news that the regular news reporters, if they know anything about it at all, dare not mention. Or if they do, they try to put a pro-government spin on it so that you really won't understand what really happened. But, you know, I've always loved Ephesians 5, verse 11. It says, have no part with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means expose them, unmask them. Don't have anything to do with them. Instead, expose them. I'm in the exposure business here. I just enjoy exposing the devil's dirty works and his human agents besides. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, of the devil. Couldn't you and I be well advised to do our little part? In fact, I do give Christ Jesus credit because I believe he is the one who makes me aware of these things so I can expose them around the world here on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR. Beaming, I don't know, 100,000, 200,000 watts. I think it's 200,000 watts now. Across the world, we're heard in so many dozens of countries. And, you know, my friends overseas send us a lot of things. That's one nice thing about being a Christian, by the way. There's Christians throughout the world in every nation. Good people. They may not be American. They may be British or Irish or Romanian or Afghani or whatever, but they're good Christian people and they're truth tellers. And I appreciate that. Hey, here's an item somebody sent me from the Sunday Mirror. That's one of the largest newspapers in Great Britain. Listen to this newspaper article, and it's a 2006 article. It says, don't panic, but government has ordered 200,000 body bags in the event of a lethal bird flu outbreak in Britain. 200,000 body bags. The government has ordered them. Wow. It says here, these are secret plans, but the Sunday Mirror, there in the United Kingdom or Great Britain, has found out about them. And they say that the government has tremendous fears of a potential death toll if the virus mutates to a form which can be passed on to humans, this bird flu. So they have these emergency plans drawn up in Great Britain, according to this Sunday Mirror article. And they've even created 15 temporary mortuaries in London alone. They're preparing. You know, it makes me wonder. When the government sources whisper about the potential death toll if the virus mutates to a form which can be passed on to humans. I wonder if they've already developed it. I wonder if it's going to happen. Depopulation. The Illuminati have long preached the gospel of depopulating the world. They believe that 500 million and no more should live. That means 5.5 billion have to die if the Illuminati get their way. They want to eradicate tens of millions of people. This could be a way. That's why we have laboratories here in the United States, Fort Detrick, Maryland, and others that are developing these deadly biological viruses and bacteria and the means to deliver them. By the way, in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, this article says they've already drawn up proposals to ration food and gasoline amid fears that consumers will strip the shelves of grocery stores and empty the tanks of the gasoline stations, the petrol stations over there. And this article says that some government sources confidentially say there could be up to 50 million deaths from a worldwide pandemic. Now, you know, this is a little scary. 200,000 body bags, up to 50 million deaths worldwide. When you consider how FEMA operated during Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, and Michael Chertoff, whose main job is to persecute Gentiles, and he's been placed in office now as Homeland Security Director, and he's as incompetent as can be, but he's a big pal of the Jewish ADL, so Bush, another big Zionist supporter, put him in power. Brownie was fired after he was shown to be incompetent. Mr. Brown, head of the FEMA. Now Chertoff's got a new puppet in there. But think about it. If FEMA and the Homeland Security under Bush couldn't handle Katrina and what happened in one city, New Orleans, what are they going to do if this hits America? Have they already got millions of body bags prepared? What contractor got that job? Was it another Halliburton friendly deal? Wow. Anyway, over in Great Britain, the Sunday Mirror quotes a government minister, a government official, a bureaucrat, as saying, quote, "I would hope people will sleep safer in the knowledge that we're preparing for the worst." Woo! Doesn't that make you feel good, knowing that FEMA is preparing for the worst here in America? If bird flu hits and millions die, FEMA's ready. Oh, yeah. What glee Satan would experience? What happiness, short term, of course, Satan would have if millions, 50 million even worldwide, could die from this dreadful bird flu disease if it hits this winter, like some are predicting. But remember this, dear friends, who do you think has power over the devil? Who has the reins of power greater than anything hell possesses? Don't you know? Don't you know his name? The Bible is his story. Alpha and Omega, beginning to end. It's the story of Jesus Christ and his seed. Those who believe in him as Lord and Savior. That's what it says in Galatians 3 verse 29. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Friends, you've got the promise of God. Does Satan have power over you? I don't care if bird flu hits America. I hope it doesn't. I pray it doesn't. But I'm still going to be in the hands of Jesus. Will you? I want to read you an email. I'm not going to read the words because I don't want to give the devil any help at all. Here's an email I received. And, you know, as the famous broadcaster said, and I wait for the end of the story, or the rest of the story, as he used to say. Anyway, this was a threatening email I received. Subject, now the sender gave this subject, the power of Satan. It was addressed to prophecy@texmars.com. It says, Mr. Mars, you do not know the power of Satan. And then he has a big long Latin phrase. In nox vos porcam. I'm not going to say all that Latin trash. And he goes on to say, I have placed a curse on you, Tex Mars. That's what this Satanist says, this Satan worshiper. I have placed a curse on you, Tex Mars. Satanism is growing in America, he writes me, or she, I don't know which. And you have no power to stop the rising storm. That's what this Satan worshiper wrote to me. But listen to what it says. You will feel the power of Satan and be destroyed on, Tex Mars, on December 31, 1999. That's the rest of the story. I received this in June, 14 June of 1999. That's 7 years ago. And here's this Satan worshiper saying, on December 31, 1999, you will feel the effects of our power. I have placed a curse on you. You see the flimsy lies of Satan? Did this man really believe back in June of 1999 I was going to hunker down and say, oh, woe is me. Some Satan worshipers placed a curse on me. I'm finished December 31st, 1999. Oh, my. Baloney. I just came across this the other day. I was going through some files, and, you know, I have so many thousands of emails that are sent to me, and I came across this one. Look, this is interesting. I'm still smiling. I'm still happy. I'm still contented. I have a few more wrinkles since 1999. I'm not blaming that on Satan. Except what he did in the Garden of Eden. But hey, I'm going to have a new immortal body someday. Why do I even worry about that? Friends, let me tell you something. This shows the pitiful weakness of the devil. And I'm not going to give him any more news copy here on Fire of Prophecy. But it just shows you. They placed a curse on me. I'll be gone by December 31, 1999. Hey, friends, I've had the FBI come by to visit me. I've had two audits by the IRS. Even they were forced to leave us alone. Even the IRS, they'll probably come and audit me again pretty soon. Who knows? I don't care. You got to do everything honestly. You got to dot the I and cross the T and all those things. And after that, you'd go to bed and sleep at night. And you have a ball with Jesus Christ. You do. Sure, you're sad about what you see in the world. You're heartbroken. You're agonizing all the time, worried about it. I'm sure every great man in the Bible was, every great woman that loved God was hurt about what they saw in the world. But we can't stop that. That's up to God. He'll put a stop to it sometime. Hey, listen to this. What's going on in Israel? I like to keep people advised because I'm convinced that the Jews around the world, and that includes Israel, of course, are Mystery Babylon the Great. And the United States has got in bed with them, so we are, in fact, Mystery Babylon. And, of course, it is only natural that Jews hating Christians would gravitate to false religions. Let me repeat that. Jews that's religious Jews particularly, hating Christianity would gravitate, that is, favor false religions as much as they hate everybody but themselves. Listen to this article that just came out. It says, Chief Rabbi, that's Israel's Chief Rabbi, Yonah Metzger, met with the Dalai Lama, a Buddhist monk who is the leader of Tibet, and suggested that the representatives of the world's religions establish a United Nations of religions in Jerusalem. This United Nations would represent religions instead of nations. The United Nations in New York would represent nation states. But in Israel, there would be a United Nations of religions. And Israel's chief rabbi, Mr. Metzger, has met with the Dalai Lama, who calls himself the God Man, a God on earth. Metzger says we must, that's the rabbi that they call him. I don't call him rabbi, but, you know, the Jews do. And the mixed up Christian Judaizers. Jesus says don't let anybody call you rabbi. That's why I call him Mr. Metzger. Mr. Metzger, that's a term of respect, Mr. Metzger, says we must invest in peace. It was reported in the Israeli press that the Tibetan Dalai Lama leader was very excited about the idea and offered to help advance it. Also at the meeting was the chief rabbi of the Sephardic Jews, Shlomo Amar, Rabbi David Rosen of the American Jewish Committee, Rabbi Menachem Froman, and various Islamic sheikhs. The Muslims meeting with the Jews and the Buddhists to favor the establishment of a United Nations of religions headquartered in Jerusalem in Israel. Boy, now that's all of the world's evil powers getting together, isn't it? But you know, there's got to be a leader of this kind of a faction. There's got to be a man who comes on the world scene with the number 666, it says in Revelation 13. Who might that be? Is he here now? Well, listen to the next news item. Boy, this really gets you, you know, it makes my, I'm going to have to get some kind of a new shampoo tonight. I mean, I'm beginning to itch my scalps. I'm just beginning to. My hair is like little electric sparks coming out. Just reading this next article to you. Dated 2006 again from the IsraelNationalNews.com. Listen to this. Rabbi Kadura's most recent words. There's evidently a famous rabbi who's been ill and in serious condition in the hospital over in Israel. He's the most famous Kabbalist of all time. At least for this generation, they say, other than Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who died in his 90s a few years ago in Brooklyn, New York. But listen to what this Kabbalistic rabbi, Yitzhak Kaduri, that's K-A-D-U-R-I. Let me just read you the news article. That's best. So I won't be putting my little interpretation. I'll read it to you exactly. It says, famous Kabbalist rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, who has been in serious condition in the hospital, revived recently and spoke with his close associates for an hour and 40 minutes after the end of the Sabbath. One of those people, Hebrew radio show host Yehoshua Miri, said the rabbi's words in Hebrew shocked him. Quote, this is what the rabbi said now from his hospital bed. He pronounced, he said, the Kabbalists will investigate my words, what I have said about the redemption and Moshiach, the anointed leader of the Jews, who is to come and rule over us all on earth. I now know and we will reveal the secret name of Moshiach. In other words, the Messiah, which was revealed to me back on November 4, 2003. Now think about that. The most famous rabbi, famous for his supernatural magic under the Kabbalah, says that he met on November 4th, 2003, he had a secret meeting with a man who will be Messiah of the whole world. And of course, it's a Jew, he says. Jewish Moshiach. It says, the rabbi Kaduri said, I will soon reveal the secret name of the Messiah. He is here now in the world. His name will be understood only by those who understand the hidden esoteric codes of Kabbalah. And the leaders, understanding that he is the Messiah, will automatically push him to become the leader and king of the world. Now, Hebrew talk show host Yehoshua Mira described a ceremony that took place during the brief period the rabbi was awake and alert. There were four people in the room, he said, the rabbi and others whose names we are not revealing. Wow. Evidently, you can find out more about this on Kaduri.net website. That's K-A-D-U-R-I.net website. However, let me warn you, this is a Hebrew language site. Now, isn't that interesting? The famous rabbi of Kabbalah comes out of his coma, serious condition, and says, I met with the new Jewish Messiah who is to rule the world. And he says that he's not even going to have to declare himself. The whole world will understand. The secret leaders, or the leaders of the world, will understand and secretly push for him to rule over us all. Now think about that. Will he not rule over a United Nations of religions? And will a temple not be rebuilt on the Temple Mountain in Jerusalem? And will he not there, dear friends, and this is Tex Mars talking, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, go into that rebuilt temple and declare himself as God and above all other gods? I think things are wrapping up here, dear friends. It looks like it. But on the other hand, remember this. Jews, rabbis, are nothing but liars. They don't know what the Father has in plan for us. And let me tell you why. Because the New Testament over and over makes clear, those who do not have the Son of God do not have the Father. Those who do not have Jesus do not and cannot understand the things of God. That's what it says in the Bible. It could be a devil speaking to this rabbi. It could have been a devil back in 2003 that came to him and said, I'm the Jewish Messiah to come. We don't know who it really was, but let me tell you something, friends. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Jesus says, be sober, be alert, for you know not when the Master comes. And he's talking about himself when he returns. If we don't know when Jesus comes, I doubt if we can know when the false Messiah is going to come. But I know one thing, the Bible says we who are true Bible believing, Jesus believing Christians will know. The whole world will acknowledge him as a Messiah, a Jewish leader of the whole world. The rabbis will acclaim him. No doubt there will be a United Nations of religions, and the United Nations of the nation states, if it's still in New York, will invite him to come and speak, and they'll say, Master, Rabbi, tell us what we must do as nations. But 2 Thessalonians says during or in the midst of that great falling away, the son of perdition, the evil one will be revealed to God's saints. Ha ha, yes. You'll know who he is, and you won't take his mark. You won't acclaim his name or his number. But the Bible says the whole world will admire him, will wonder in admiration for him. And boy, they're setting it up. It's all getting ready to go. One of the groups, I'll tell you, that will readily accept the Antichrist are the Masons. I want to read to you a letter. I'm not going to give you the man's name, but he's from South Carolina. And by the way, he's from the very city that's almost the center of world masonry, or was for a long period of time, in South Carolina. He says, "Hello, Tex. I came across your website and found it to be very interesting. I, too, am becoming very much aware of the evil that is happening all around us. I also have to admit that I became a Mason 3 years ago, but have since decided to discontinue my association with that group based on its conflict with my Christianity. But I did not understand that at the time of my initiation," he writes. "I was duped into believing that the Freemasons fostered religions and made folks get more involved with their churches. I actually had fellow Masonic, quote-unquote, brothers of mine tell me that. However, as I reflected more and more about my involvement in this occult group, and as I dove more and more into the Word of God," he writes, I found that I had sinned tremendously against the God that gave me life, and against Christ who suffered for my sins." You know, I want to thank the writer of this email for his admission. Friends, we're all sinners. We start out that way. And Christ Jesus only can open up our eyes. The flesh can't reveal these things to us. This wonderful gentleman writes to me and he admits, "I became a Mason just 3 years ago." But you see, God wasn't going to let him be happy as a Mason. God in the Holy Spirit came to him and said, "Hey, consider this." And he did. Thank God. Now he says it is. It's an occult group. "And I have sinned tremendously against the God that gave me life and Christ who suffered for my sins." He ends by saying, "Fight the good fight." And he signs his name. Again, I'm not going to give it. I don't want him to be retaliated against. He probably already has been. But I want to thank him very much for writing me that wonderful, encouraging letter. Friends, we're making a difference here at Power of Prophecy. I don't mind telling you, I'm on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am. I'm on fire for the truth. And I'm going to keep exposing things. I'm going to keep revealing the truth. I don't care who opposes me. I don't know how much longer I've got to live on this earth. I really don't. I can imagine my name has been placed at the top of quite a few lists for destruction. There's a lot of curses being placed on my head. I don't care. I'm not going to lose a bit of sleep. In fact, the only sleep I'm going to lose is because I'm working nonstop for you and for Jesus Christ. I believe I'm your representative. I am. I am your ambassador to tell the truth. I'm the ambassador of truth. Who appointed me? Who gave me this position? Friends, listen to me. You and I both are called by Jesus. I don't need men to ordain me. You know, the way it is today, send a $1,000 donation or $500 donation and 100 Bible colleges will give you a fake PhD. I don't need the acclaim of men. You know, I've taught for 3 universities, including the University of Texas at Austin. I graduated from 2 universities. I find the stuff they taught me mainly was garbage compared to the truths I found in His Word. And that's where I am. That's where I'm going to stay. Hey, come back with us. We're going to take a break, and I want you to come back with us because we're going to find out about the man who says we must nuclear bomb Iran, blow it off the face of the map. We're going to find out about the most popular pastor, at least one of the two most popular pastors in America, who's, he didn't mind homosexuals very much. And we've got a lot more for you. Hey, how about the president of Israel who has raped 10 women? When we come back, this is Tex Mars. Stay with us. Hello, friends. It's Tex Mars again. You know, a lot of people write to us and they say, hey, Tex, well, I know you send your newsletter around the world. I know your radio show is heard around the world and on the internet. I realize you're doing so many things for the Lord, but would you please tell us about those things? We really don't know a lot of what's going on at Power Prophecy Ministries. And you know, I have been remiss. I think what it is I don't want to brag. You know, I don't want to boast, say, oh, look at everything we're doing. We're so deserving of your tithes and your love gifts and your offerings. Look at all the great things we're doing. I don't know. It just seems sort of tacky. But, you know, I was talking to Wanda and the people here that work for us at the ministry, and they said, you know, it's not fair not to tell the people what we're doing. Some of the projects that we're involved in, they need to know. And I guess one of the reasons is because a lot of you give love gifts and you want to make sure that you're a good steward of God's money just as we do. And you know, that is true. I need to talk more. For example, in the last year, we've supported several churches. I know we gave $1,000 love gift to a church here in Austin, Texas, gave $2,000 to another a church in East Texas that was starting up that needed help. We've sent, oh my goodness, how many case after case after case? You know, how many, 12 or 20 Bibles to a case? How many hundreds and hundreds of cases over the years we've sent of Bibles to missions overseas? Africa, down in South America and Asia. Anybody that writes us, we're going to send them Bibles and all these kinds of things. And of course, thousands of letters over the years from prisoners. Every day we get letters from prisoners that hear us on the radio and say, do you have any free literature? Some say, I've read everything in the prison chapel library and I need some good literature. And you know, a lot of them have come to know Jesus since or after they were sentenced. They know they're guilty of their crime. they well know, and they've repented for those things. Now, should they stay in prison? Yes. Yeah. A lot of them are guilty. They should be there. Friends, there's consequences to criminal activity. But here's the point. They know Jesus now, and it can make all the difference in the world when they get out. It can make a difference while they're in, because so many have written to me and said, even prison chaplains, and Sandra, she's sitting here in my producer, she runs our equipment during the show. You know how many prison chaplains have written to us and said, we need Bibles. Please send us Bibles. I want to distribute them to the prisoners. And you know, a lot of the state prisons and such, they're not going to pay state money to buy Bibles. But we will send any prison chaplain that requests Bibles. You better believe we're going to send it to them. And guess what? We only send the King James Bible. That's the only Bible we're going to send out. And we buy them in huge quantities, and therefore we get a real bargain price on them. Okay? And by the way, if you want some Bibles, we'll be glad to let you have some too, and maybe you can give us a love gift or whatever that'll just pay our expenses for the Bibles and all that. So if you'd like a case of Bibles, well, call us and we'll send you a case. We only ask that you help us with the cost of those Bibles. But we get them, remember, in discount. So it's a lot cheaper than you're going to any bookstore for the Bibles. Well, I'm saying all this because I want you to know, I remember we gave a certain amount of money to help build a water well to a village in Africa, I believe it was, a church project, this last year. People at this village didn't even have good water. And they remember those things. And they remember when Christian missionaries come in. Just received a wonderful letter from a Christian ministry. Mr. Olinsky went over to, Bo Olinsky went over to Africa, and the church, a pastor there that he's helping, sent a letter first and thanked me for all the Bibles and the Christian literature that he got. Books like The Blood of Christ, for example. You know, a lot of times prisoners, we send them Fox's Book of Martyrs, a cheap edition. A lot of them are going through hellacious bad times. They may deserve it, but still, it's pretty tough in prison. And I'll tell you something. One of them told me one time how mean he used to be. This was a prisoner at Huntsville, Texas. He said to me, he says, Brother Mars, I used to walk down the aisles in that prison, the hallway, and I would see Christians coming toward me, and they'd have a Bible in their hand. And he said, it made me so angry to see that Bible. I would grab it out of their hands and tear it to pieces. I got in a lot of fights with Christians. I hated that Bible. He said, but you know, there came a time in my life when I said, what is life for? What am I here for? Why don't I just kill myself? And he determined he was going to kill himself. What a miserable man he was. They said this man was the meanest man in Huntsville State Prison. I don't mind telling you his name is, last name is Kinsey. Joe Kinsey. He said, Tex, I was ready to kill myself. I was on the very verge of it. He got the whatever, you know, equipment or things he needed to kill himself. And suddenly a voice came to me and said, who are you to decide when you will die? I've chosen you to live for me. He couldn't believe it. God told him, who are you to decide when you will die? I have chosen you to live for me. That's Brother Kinsey's testimony, and I believe it. Let me tell you a little bit about Brother Kinsey. He accepted Jesus that very moment, and he apologized to every prisoner, every Christian whose Bible he had torn from their hands and ripped to shreds in his satanic anger against God's word. You see, the problem was he knew that that word would save him. On a subconscious level, perhaps, maybe. And it did. It did. Because let me tell you how he actually got saved before that moment of suicide. You see, he began to read the Bible for himself. And he said, these stupid other convicts, they believe in this trash. That's what he said to himself. I'm going to read this Bible, and then I'm going to get evidence and show them where the Bible is wrong. He began to read the Bible to disprove it. Oh, that's a big mistake, friends. Because as he began to read it, he said, wow, so this is what the Bible is all about. The meanest man in Texas. One time, Brother Kinsey escaped from Huntsville Prison. They caught him out in the woods. A lot of woods in East Texas. They caught him and they sicked the dogs on him. He still has the bite marks on his legs to this day. His brother was also a criminal. You see, he just came from a family of gangsters, of criminals. And his brother was in a prison for him about 30 miles away. One day, prison guard came up to his cell and said, hey, Kinsey, how long has it been since you heard from your brother? He said, well, quite a while. Why? He said, well, you ain't going to be hearing from him anymore. He's dead. And just walked away. That's how he found out about his brother dying. You won't be hearing from him anymore. He's dead. Brother Kinsey is alive. Brother Kinsey and his wife are wonderful Christian people. I've known Brother Kinsey now for, 21 years perhaps. Been over his house a number of times. Met his precious wife. I met his precious daughter too, who was in training to become a missionary down in Central and South America. I want you to think about that. The man who they call the meanest man in Texas prisons, who tore Bibles into shreds, now saves people's lives due to the Bible. That's why we send out the Bible. And friends, when you give to this ministry, that's just one of the many things you're doing. You're helping to build a water well for a poor village. You're helping to send Bibles and Christian literature and books to prisoners locked up. You're helping missionaries. You're giving hope. And you're helping support this radio program and our newsletter and our websites. And by the way, we have our orphanage project going on right now, our orphanage project for the Texas Children's Home. If you would like to contribute, and every cent you give, now you have to designate it. So if you send a check or a money order, and you know, if you send $100 maybe for books and things and you want to give $20 of it, make sure it's designated. Send a note or a separate letter or a little stick-it note or whatever and say, text, this is for the orphanage project or the children's home, the Texas Children's Home. It's a private children's home. They don't get government money. They need your help. They have boys. They have girls there. They even have some families there. And they have little cabins. They have a boys' ranch connected to it. And whatever amount of money we give, it all goes in one pie, and not one cent goes. We don't take it for labor. We don't take it for our time. We don't take any of it. Okay? I don't see any of it. I don't see one cent of it. We have a person here in the ministry who's the project person. She takes care of it. And we make sure, generally, it doesn't even go to the administration of the orphans. We in the past, it usually goes right direct to the people. And we help them to buy clothes for school, the kids, and all that. And by the way, every year we give them a free Bible. We give them a free Bible. And I want to especially thank Cammie Snyder from up in New York State, who's been so kind over the last couple of years to give Bibles. And she puts these beautiful little leather covers on them and lacy covers on them for the girls and everything. And we hand carry those to the children's home. We hand carry those. And we add other things. We add some candy and, you know, and I know you health nuts, and I'm a health nut too. Now don't criticize me. It's okay to give a little bit of candy to orphanage kids that don't have as much as others. And we help them with their school clothes and other things. Well, in any case, if you want to give to the Texas Children's Home, just make sure that you say this money is especially for that. Now, I haven't offered any books. I just wanted to give you a little report. Every once in a while, if you don't mind, I'm going to do this. I'm not boasting. But after all, you know, you're a member of our group. We don't have official membership, but I just feel like if you're listening to this radio program, you love this ministry, Power of Prophecy Ministries. Yes, you do deserve a little report every once in a while. And we don't mind telling you some of the things we're doing. It's where your money goes. Whenever you buy a book, any profit goes into that thing. We really don't have a system here where I write books, I get royalties and things. We look at the end of the year and see if Wanda and I, what we can, you know, afford to pay ourselves. And that's about what we do. Some years we get paid and some years we don't. And that's just fine too. We're doing all right. All right. Okay. Let's return to our regular program. Oh, our address. Oh my. Yeah. If you're going to send things, you need to know where to send it to. Hey, we're at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And you can, by the way, call us and use your charge cards. You can designate money, send, you know, love gifts, whatever, by calling us. And we'll just take it right on the telephone and write it down as a donation, okay? And our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Now, remember, if you give a love gift ministry, it goes into the general fund, and it can go to our missionary project to buy Bibles for prisoners. It can go to our radio program or whatever, or for, yes, we've got to have salaries paid here and all of our old bills, our utilities, our radio time, all those things. It'll go into those things. But if you want to give specifically for the children's home, make sure you just stick a little note. And the ladies and the men in here that open up our mail, they'll read it and they'll put it in a separate stack. And you will be getting a thank you eventually. Give us a little while now. We're slow on that project because we wait till all the you know, money is in for this year's project, then eventually you'll be getting a letter thanking you for your donation. So be patient with us, but we'll take care of it in due time. Meanwhile, you know where your money is going, and we appreciate that so much. And you know what, friends? We're not 501c3 tax-exempt organization. We're not going to give you a tax-deductible gift receipt. But I know that our Lord in heaven knows how to reward you. He can do it a lot better than the IRS can, believe me. Now, back to our regular program. Somebody sent me from the Toronto Sun newspaper a column by a man named Michael Corren. Of course, he's Jewish, C-O-R-E-N. Stated September 2, 2006 from the Toronto Sun. Mr. Corren says, we must preserve world peace. And how are we going to do that? He says, quote, put boldly and simply, we have to drop a nuclear bomb on Iran. That's all you have to do for world peace. Drop an atomic bomb on Iran. Now that's very, very wise and Jewish of you, Mr. Corren. We should nuke Iran is the title of his article. He doesn't mind starting World War III, does he? No. Let's do it for the Jews' sake. Oh, yeah, sure. I agree with a man named James Bovard. Mr. Bovard's written a number of excellent books. He recently wrote an article called Killing in the Name of Democracy. He says George Bush keeps claiming that he has the goal of spreading democracy. But unfortunately, to spread democracy, it's necessary, according to Mr. Bush, to kill in the name of democracy. He says, killing in the name of democracy has a long and sordid history. Franklin Roosevelt painted World War II as a crusade for democracy, and he held dictator Joseph Stalin as a partner in liberation. He praised Stalin, that's Roosevelt, FDR, praised Stalin as representative of the heart and soul of Russia. Oh, yeah. We're doing it for democracy in Iraq. You just know it, don't you? Meanwhile, rabbis, this is according to the Forward magazine, a Jewish magazine published in New York, says that leaders of the Rabbinical Council of America say Israel is worried too much about civilian deaths in places like Lebanon. Don't worry about civilian collateral damage. According to the rabbis, Israel is holding back. It's worried too much about sparing the lives of innocent citizens. Forget about the lives of innocent citizens, says the Rabbinical Council of America. Go forward and kill. Oh, yeah. Talk about killing. There's a way to kill spiritually as well as physically. I believe Pastor Joel Osteen of Houston, Texas, other than Rick Warren, he's the most popular pastor in America. Let me read you this article that I got from Christian News newspaper, October 16, 2006, page 15. I want to read to you exactly what it says. It says, Joel Osteen is one of America's most well-known preachers, but his comments recently about gay marriage turned a few evangelical heads. Osteen, pastor of the non-denominational Lakewood Church in Houston and the author of the best-selling Your Best Life Now book, was at a Boston bookstore recently signing books when he was asked his opinion about gay marriage. According to the Boston Herald, Osteen, quote, suddenly got sheepish. Quote, well, I don't think it's God's best, Osteen said. Pressed further, Osteen added, you know, I don't feel like that's my thrust. You know, some of the issues that divide us, I'm just here to let people know that God is for them and he's on their side. I don't like to go there. He doesn't like to go there. He don't want to talk about homosexuality. You know, evidently God didn't agree with Mr. Osteen because God went there. In fact, he went to two cities. Their names were Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed them. In the Old Testament, his prophets call homosexuality an abomination. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says that the effeminate homosexuals are going to suffer the pangs of hell. Seems like God's prophets and apostles cared a lot. And God destroyed cities based on their homosexual sin. But Osteen says, well, it's not God's best, but I don't want to go there. It's not my thrust. Oh, yeah. Now, in June 2005, during an appearance on CNN's Larry King Live show, Osteen was also asked about his positions on gay marriage and abortion. And I'm going to read to you exactly what Mr. Osteen said. Remember now, pastor of the second largest church in America, his television program is the highest rated on television. I mean, millions have bought his book, Your Best Life Now. Listen to what he said. He says, you know what, Larry? I don't go there. I think there are a better place, a better way to live your life. But I'm not going to condemn those people. I tell them all the time, our church is open for everybody. Now, Larry King responded and he said, you don't call them sinners? I don't, Osteen said. Get that? Larry King said, you don't call those who are homosexual sinners? And they're on national television. In fact, the whole world listening. America's most favorite pastor, along with maybe Mr. Warren, who, by the way, concurs with Osteen on this. I don't call them sinners, he says. Is that a word you don't use, sinners? King asked. I don't use it, Osteen responded. I never thought about it. When I get people in church, I want to tell them that they can change, but I don't go down the road of condemning. Makes me remember the day I was talking to Dr. Charles Stanley of First Baptist Church Atlanta, his top lieutenant. He called me a stiff-necked Baptist. Actually, I wasn't even a Baptist. I said, well, first of all, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Christian. He said, well, I thought you were a Baptist. I said, no, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I said, you're a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist. He said, well, you're still stiff-necked. He said, you're not like Dr. Stanley. I said, really? How's that? He said, well, Dr. Stanley doesn't believe in condemning people. I said, really? I said, well, does he preach against sin? No, he said, he does not. He doesn't condemn. Of course, he doesn't condone either. I said, isn't that interesting? Dr. Stanley, who you work for, you're his second man. You say he doesn't condemn and he doesn't condone. He said, that's right. I said, boy, that's sure not like Jesus. He condemned and he did not condone sin. Dr. Stanley is 180 degrees different than Jesus. And boy, it just made him more angry. At me. I've had a lot of them angry at me over the years. Hey, here's a letter from Jay Sekulow. I haven't talked to Jay Sekulow in many years. One time I know he called me. He used to have a program on TBN, and he had invited me to come up and talk about the New Age movement. For whatever reason, I think there was had an illness of some sort in my family. I couldn't go. Now he's written a letter, everybody. Urgent alert memorandum. Now, he's the guy that's been getting millions of dollars from people. He goes on TBN, he goes on the 700 Club, and says, send me money. He's with the American Center for Law and Justice. Jay Sekulow, he's a Jewish Christian. Send me money because I want to try to keep Christ in our schools. I want to keep prayer in American life, which are good goals, of course. But now he's changed his whole focus. Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, says now the only thing that's important practically is Israel, Israel, Israel. In his newest letter, he says, quote, as I write these words, Israel is under savage attack. And this means you and I are under attack. Israel must be defended. I was trying to figure out, Israel is under attack. Now, it's true that there's a few Palestinians and Hamas, whoever once in a while, you know, do something terrible, and then Israel does them back about 20 times as bad, but under attack? Israel must be defended? He's forgotten his focus, this guy. He was for trying to retain the vestiges of Christianity that are still left in American society. But now all of these people, the John Hagees, the Falwells, they've all forgotten about American Christianity. In fact, world Christianity. All they want to do is say, more money for Israel. More power for Israel. More riches for Israel. More status for Israel. Do it now. Wow. He goes on to say, anybody who is against Israel are just full of lies and propaganda. He goes on to say he's working with the White House to help Israel. He's defending Israel. My national security. He's mobilized a national security legal team. He says he's for the war in Iraq. In other words, let's kill Iraqis for Israel. Now that's a real Christian goal, isn't it? Hey, by the way, the Jews aren't the only one that President Bush supports. Get this, from October 16, 2006, President Bush had a big meeting, a big dinner at the White House for ambassadors from Muslim countries, and all the Islamic sheikhs came. All the Muslim muftis showed up. That's Monday, October 16th. Let me tell you, the president gave them all a personal Ramadan. That's a holy day in the Islamic faith message. He says, quote, this is President Bush. Remember now, he's our Christian president. Here's what he said to them. This is from the White House website. It comes right out of the White House. He says, America is a land of many faiths, and we welcome and honor the Muslim faith in our nation. Our society is enriched by our Muslim citizens. Your commitment to your faith reminds us all of the precious gift of religious freedom in our country. America is a more hopeful nation because of the talents and generosity and compassion of our Muslim citizens. Christian friend, listen to me. Is that true? Are we a more hopeful nation because of the generosity and compassion of the Muslim religion? Absolutely not. On one hand, he's killing them for Israel over in the Middle East, and now the Jews here in American Canada aren't pleased. Now they want us to go nuclear bomb Iran for them. Meanwhile, he's meeting with his Islamic religious potentates right there in the White House, and I'm looking at a picture of them all together. There's Bush up at the podium, and what is he telling them? The Muslim faith, you know, is a wonderful tradition for America. Baloney! Sixth anniversary. President Bush was the first president to have this Ramadan dinner in the White House. The first president to ever do that. Meanwhile, a final little item for you. The president of Israel, that's right, Moshe Katsav, is under investigation for raping and molesting women who work for him. They say he raped 10 women. Imagine the president of Israel raping 10 women. You know, Bush hadn't said a word about it, criticizing it. I wonder if he ever will. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to A Volume of Secrets right here on Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you will tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.